Thank you. Good day, friends. It's a real joy, isn't it, for you and me to just sit down and talk together about the things of the Lord and to take a portion of His Word and just begin to feed on it and milk it and enjoy the One who has made such provision for every need. It's a wonderful thing to know that we have an all-sufficient Savior who in infinite grace has made the provision whereby you and I can be transformed from children of wrath into the children of God, to be freed of all guilt and penalty of sin, and then to be promised that sin shall not have dominion over us because we're no longer under the law but under grace. And to know that the grace of God which gives me liberty to please God and has put into me a new motive for service, which would be love, and then He causes us to walk in the Spirit. And as you know, the flesh desireth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. Now the exhortation is to walk in the Spirit. You know, the natural thing for you and me is to try and make the flesh behave. And for some reason or other, it just doesn't. It wants its own way. We want our own will instead of the will of God. Now, the Spirit of God has come to indwell real Christians for the purpose of the revelation of the heart and character of God. Now, in this passage of Galatians chapter 5, we had the fact that the works of the flesh were evident. Remember that the flesh always fights against the Spirit of God. And the works of the flesh are not very good, as you read in those verses 19 to 21. But then he takes up the fruit of the Spirit. And allow me again to repeat one or two statements that I made in our last lesson, that spiritual gifts and our service for the Lord is not the sign of us being Spirit-filled or that we're walking in the Spirit or walking by means of the Spirit. Again, may I remind you that every real believer is indwelt by the Spirit, and sealed by the Spirit, and baptized by the Spirit, and born of the Spirit. These are four acts that God Himself does the moment you're saved. But now the exhortation is to walk in the Spirit. In fact, the command is for us to be filled with the Spirit, as Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 declares, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And we were discussing this question, that the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of a Spirit-filled life. The fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of us walking in the Spirit. Every Christian has the Spirit, but his life is not controlled by the Spirit of God. That's why in verse 25 he says, "If by the Spirit we live, then by the Spirit walk." Now let's look at these wonderful things that we have here in verses 22 and 23, and I'm going to read them again. "For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, and against such there is no law." And we were discussing in closing our last lesson that the fruit of the Spirit is love, and that love and obedience go together. And if my God and your God is love, then we will manifest the fact that we are the children of God by being obedient to one who is love. In fact, we're exhorted in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the first verse, to chase after love, to pursue love. "I show you a more excellent way." Love, not the gifts, not your service, but love. Now, you'll notice as you read on down, the second thing that he mentions is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Now, he doesn't say happiness, because happiness has to depend upon circumstances. But joy. Joy, you can have full joy even in the midst of sorrow. Joy in the midst of possible disappointment. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. You see, when it comes to circumstances, He's the God over all circumstances. That's why our Savior said in John 15:11, "My joy I give unto you, that your joy may be full. In Hebrews chapter 12, the second verse, concerning our Savior, I read, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. For the joy that was set before him, though he went to the cross, though he was despised and rejected of men, though all his disciples forsook him and fled, yet for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. There was that personal, joyous satisfaction that he was moving and living and acting in the will of God. Now, I'm not saying it was a joyous thing to be crucified, to be scourged. In fact, he could say in Matthew 26 in the Garden of Gethsemane, now is my soul exceeding troubled even unto death. You see, joy, this is a deep-seated thing. It's not a passing thing. In 1 John chapter 1, the fourth verse, you remember John has said in verse 3, our ministry is so that you may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He's talking here about an intimacy of life in Christ. And then he adds, these things write I unto you, that your joy may be full. Now remember this, God wants your life to be full of joy. Even though you may be in sorrow, even though you may be in affliction, even though you may be persecuted, even though you may not feel very well, these are circumstances, but there can be that deep-seated joy in the knowledge of your union with the Son of God, the Spirit of God in you, causing you to enjoy his joy. My joy I give unto you, that your joy might be full. And then the third one is peace. Now notice how these three run together. Love, joy, and peace. Now these are things of the heart. When you come to peace, for example. Now in Philippians chapter 4, the seventh verse, it says, the peace of God shall guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. He's talking here about experimental peace. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. That means free from strain, free from worry. Do you ever stop to think of it? You know, it's true, if I may be allowed to do this, it's true that every believer has peace with God. Now, this is a statement of fact. Like Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, being declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God. That is, we are no longer at enmity with God. And then in John chapter 14:27, Jesus said, before he left this earth, to his disciples, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, that is, free from strain. Don't be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. In the 16th chapter of John's Gospel, the last verse, he could say, in the world you shall have tribulation. In me you shall have peace. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, I read that he is our peace. In other words, the ground for our peace never changes. But now, all these things are true of all believers. But the experimental side is what I'm talking about now. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. And I think possibly we could connect that with Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God shall guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Then he goes on to say, and the God of peace will be with you. So you have these first three. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Divine love evident in the believer's life. Joy, his joy in spite of all circumstances. And a peace that passeth all understanding. A peace that's free from strain, free from worry. Now mark the fourth one. Now the next three really go together. Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering, not short-suffering. You know that there are people who will say, I'll forgive you this time, but never let it happen again. They're short in their long-suffering. Long-suffering. I can't help but think of that verse in 1 Corinthians 13 where it says, love suffereth long and is still kind. I think, can I do this? And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about when I say this. Quite often people will say, that verse should be read this way. Love suffereth long and then blows up. No, it's still kind. Ah, what a rare, rare gift this is. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Love suffereth long and is still kind. Wouldn't it be nice, wouldn't it be wonderful if we Christians, we who love the Savior, we who talk about the Holy Spirit indwelling us and living in us, wouldn't it be a good thing if we were to walk in the Spirit? And the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. These are supernatural things. And it's as the Spirit of God moves in you and me, as we yield ourselves to Him, then we enjoy this. Now it may be today you're going to have some special trials, maybe with the children, with your husband, or with your neighbors, or with somebody, and the danger is to blow up. Isn't that true? You say, well, I've got a right to blow up. I know. I'll agree with you on that. But love suffereth long and is still kind. Oh, what a need for this among God's people. It's so easy to become irritated. It's so easy to lose one's temper. It's so easy to be nasty. Now let's remember, the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. And I just trust that today the Lord will undergird you and guide you so that today when things would force you to blow up and say things you shouldn't say and do things you shouldn't do, you remember, love suffereth long and is still kind. Oh, may God grant to you and to me that today we will so live that we will magnify our wonderful Savior. And let the Spirit of God do it. He'll do it in you and in me. And the Lord bless you today for His own precious name's sake.